Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and we have an amazing paradigm shifter. He's going through a process, or going to teach you and I a process of being able to master alchemy, not only shift paradigms, but shift who you are going through that paradigm. And it gets really intricate and complicated when I watch your YouTubes and so on. Jim Self, welcome to the show.
Hi, Veronica. Nice to be here with you.
I'm very excited because you're doing some pretty stunning work out there, and I like what your regular reports are. The one in January 2015 is pretty, I want to say, a mixture of dire and really exciting. Do you understand what I mean? Do you want to talk about that? What do you think is happening on our planet right now?
Well, there's lots of ways of approaching this. So what you're referring to is something that I do on masteringalchemy.com every month, mostly directed at people who are involved in the Mastering Alchemy program. But in fact, it hasn't quite turned out that way because there's thousands of people that listen to kind of what's defined as a planetary update. And in that context, it's really about kind of the world geopolitics and the world financial systems and the earth changes that are going on. But in reality, it's about all those things as an external experience, but it's really about the internal experience. Both things are going on simultaneously with the shift of consciousness, which is very much kicking in right now. Many things are changing
But I want
from
to say this is that when you talk about the way the world is going and the politics and the business and all that, it really helps those of us who've been pretty diligent and working on our own individual growth and trying to see what kind of impact it can have and how can we live in this global ferment. And you have a lot of good information on that.
Well, I have a perspective that a lot of people have access to but don't have. And that perspective for this purpose is in my reality, when I started being told, no, don't stop, and here's how the world works, and you talk to these people and you don't talk to these people, and you go to this school and you don't do this, as most of us have been cultured in a third dimensional reality, when that begins to happen as a little kid, everything like your clairvoyance, your clairaudience, your telepathies, your different levels of transmediumship and communication all turn, they don't really turn off. You turn away from them
Or
as
we dull
little.
them down, don't we?
We dull them down because you're told, stop making up those stories, stop lying. There is no angel sitting at the table with you when you're having tea at 4 years old. So we
And
basically,
don't be crazy.
yeah, sure, all those messages. So what we do in order to fit in and be accepted, which is what the rational mind portion of the brain is all about, having you be safe, fitting in, and being accepted. In order to do that, you turn away from those things that are not accepted in that third dimensional external world. And in that process, one of the things that starts to happen is people begin to feel lonely, disconnected, and not okay. And so you begin to have this interaction between what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to do it, and am I being approved of? And at the same time, there is an internal guidance system that we all have access to that says, this isn't what I really want to be doing. And so you get this kind of internal, external push and pull growing up. So with this shift of consciousness that's coming, that's all changing. But in my world, I didn't turn all that off. And in my world, when I go to sleep at night, I go to sleep just like you go to sleep for the most part. I go home every night just like you go home every night. The challenge is when you come back into the body from those very refined awarenesses and frequency ranges, and then you step back into the physicalness, into all of the noise, into all of the problems that you stepped out of last night when you went to sleep, you cannot hold the awareness of those fine, refined awarenesses. And so over the years, of teaching clairvoyance and healing and things over the last 35, 40 years, there is an awareness that kind of has come into my experience where my friends, your friends, the archangels, the lords of light, the Elohim, the great ascended masters, they're all right there. It's a very real reality right there in my reality. But again, it's that don't be crazy. What are you making up those stories for? Little kid set of responses. But in my reality, what we have determined was this shift was in fact going to happen. And in order for it to happen, it was necessary for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, as it was said, begin to understand how to hold and manage their energy patterns and their awareness in present time and understand how to observe, choose, and then act rather than shoot, ready, aim, and panic. And so as this shifting is occurring, there are many who are waking up, many who are spiritually driven, but many are confused, and rightfully so, because you've got all those counteracting goods and bads and rights and wrongs and shoulds and shouldn'ts, and I'm crazy and what's going on. But I have this spiritual drive. I want to heal the earth. I want to change humanity. And even though it's last on the list, it really is the most important. I wish to know myself and ascend into my own full consciousness of all that is. And so over the last 10 years, what I've been able to do in Mastering Alchemy is basically say there is a shift coming, and that shift is going to cause some challenges in what you believe and how you perceive, and you cannot take your baggage with you on this journey.
Wait, can I ask a question? When you use the word ascend, I think a lot of us have bandied that word around for many, many years, and I think I understand it well as being consciously moving up frequencies or consciously absorbing and integrating higher frequencies in our body mind so that our identity and capacities change. Would you say that? Is that ascension? Or what exactly is ascension? We're not
Great
all going to go to the sky, are we?
You hope not. Because there's nothing going on in the sky. So the answer, your words are really correct. But let's make it even simpler. It's you are evolving.
Okay.
You are simply becoming more aware and more conscious. And in those aspects of consciousness, there are expanded choices, different choices. So when you play in a third dimensional reality, what we've all grown up in, most of the reality that you perceive is from an external point of view. The mom, dad, teacher, minister, the rights and the wrongs, the goods, the bads, the shoulds, the shouldn'ts. But when you begin to get quiet and you begin to create a different set of reference points to perceive what you've always perceived, you will see and experience what you've always perceived differently. Now, not like magic happens. It's a place where when you can step out of the noise and the fear and the reactionary state of consciousness, which is a third dimensional structure, mm-hmm. a predominant structure, and you can begin to create a perception, and that's simply what it is, of thoughts and emotions that change the physiology. Now, what I mean by that is I don't mean you walk through walls. I simply mean
oh,
that...
Oh, darn, I want to do that.
It's very doable, but that's not... You can't get there from here.
Okay.
So, but if you could begin to change the physiology, the emotions, and the thoughts by holding a different thought and emotion. So if you could begin to create... Let's just put it this way. You know what fear and depression and anger and resentment and you know what throwing energy is and you know what, you know, hating and all those words are. The simple question is, how does that feel?
Terrible.
Okay, you also know what laughing and enjoyment and beauty and well-being, you know what graciousness and kindness and gratitude is. How does that feel? So the question is, which thought, which set of emotions feel better? In the reality where we play, we are conditioned by the structure of the dimension. So I'm saying something different here. Dimensions have rules and structures.
Okay.
Each dimension operates differently. The fourth dimension, for example, has no physicalness in it. It's not a physical dimension. It is a conceptual dimension. It is a thought dimension.
So when we're visualizing, are we using it?
You can be, but visualizing is a tool of yourself as a skill set. So, but where this goes is, if you could build a platform, if I said to you, and I say this often to people, do you know what certainty is? And people go, oh, sure, I know what certain is. In fact, many people don't know what it is, and they say they don't know what it is. I've never been certain. But see, if I say, do you know what certain is, the response is an intellectual thought. Yes, I know what certainty is. But if I said to you, close your eyes, take a breath, sit back, and be certain, find the feeling of certainty. As soon as you approach it from that reference point, the body straightens up, you take a little deeper breath, your head goes back, and there is a sense of you that is different than in your regular walking around space.
That's true.
If I said to you, all right, now just shift your attention from certainty to capable, would you feel capable? Now, pretend that you feel capable if you don't know what capable is, and I'll make jokes about it. But all of a sudden, there's a shift in the physiology of the body based on the motion and the thought. If we added to it and said, would you be senior in your body, meaning not old, but meaning seniority, would you simply be, this is what I am? Seniority. And all of a sudden you start to weave those feelings and words, thoughts together, frequency ranges of emotion and thought. You start to change how the physiology of the body functions. So it's a very simple thing, but it is not necessarily an easy experience, because most people are like a freight train at 90 miles an hour, and what I'm saying is, turn right. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, wait, you don't understand. And I say, yeah, I understand, but just turn right. That's the process that it literally is going through. We are in such motion away from ourselves, away from quietness, that to be able to just shift into a set of feelings and thoughts by choice, and then be able to recognize that in a fourth dimensional reality, the time structure, the time application, is present time. There is no past. There is no future. In the present moment, it's like right where we are right now, we're very much in a present moment space. You're not thinking about before or after. This is the only space that you can feel an emotion, and you can structure a creation. Very simple.
What happens, so you're saying that the edicts of the subconscious, that sort of thing, doesn't have to play out here when you're in the state of choice. Is that right?
Absolutely. But now, that's a state. So what is the subconscious? That's another whole structure. But basically, what the subconscious is, to a great extent, is a combination of the rational mind, kind of, which his job is to keep you safe and have you fit in.
Right.
And all of those, and I'm going to choose a word specifically, gifts that you have received all through your life that you've never wanted. And what I mean by that is, we grow up and the mom, dad, teacher, minister of life simply say, what's wrong with you? You're not smart. You're not attractive. You're never going to fit. How come you don't get it right? Why don't you do better over here? It's but basically, what's wrong with you? The reality is, you cannot be not okay. It's impossible to be not okay. Your absolute nature is beauty and well-being and being okay. But here's the mechanics. Somebody says to you, think about it, you're not okay. Mm-hmm. You're stupid. You're never going to succeed. You know, you're not a smart person. You're not attractive. Well, what happens is, it's as if you're walking along in your spiritual space of well-being, and somebody says to you, you're not okay. They simply hand you their opinion,
right.
a gift, and you accept it because you kind of go into resistance to it, but you drop from your spiritual space into the mental space, and you have a thought that says, this isn't okay. And then it drops immediately into an emotion like, oh no, what did I do wrong? And then you hold on to the gift they gave you, you're not okay, and you begin to analyze it. What did I do wrong? Can I be this bad? Can I be not okay? When you do that, you start to create these electromagnetic fields that begin to be stronger and stronger and stronger. Think about all the times you were not okay. You embarrassed yourself, or somebody blamed you, or you felt guilty. And how long do you carry that around? But what we do, here's your subconscious, is we can't handle that. So we basically make a deal with it. We just go, I'm going to put it over here in this little box called denial. But it doesn't really go away because it still catches your attention. So somehow or another, you make another decision. You make a deal with it. If you never come out into the light of day again, I will never go over there where I was told I was not okay. And you put it behind you on a shelf called subconscious or unconsciousness. And you decide to forget about it. And you do. But in fact, you never go over there again. Now, if you think about all the times you're told, okay, I'm not okay, it's one of those things where we see this in people all the time. You say hello to somebody, and you say, how are you? In a very nice manner. And they go, well, I'm okay. Well, somehow I'm okay and I'm okay don't match. Mm-hmm. And you look at them, and their physiology is bent over, or they're kind of withdrawn, or they're not excited. What happens is, when you put enough I'm not okay in that subconscious, unconscious structure, and you make a deal with it that says, I'll never go where I was excited to go again because I might get yelled at or told I'm not okay. What's wrong with you? A lot of that what's wrong with you is, what's wrong with me is I'm internal. I'm in the natural guidance system in my heart. I'm loving myself. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying me. What's wrong with you is the message. Mm-hmm. And so we have this conflict of wearing these shoes that are too small, these shirts that don't fit, they're the wrong color, because we're trying to argue with and try to figure out what's wrong with me. And that's where most of our attention in the third dimension is constantly focused, even though we deny what we are trying to understand. And you'll never get a right answer, because you cannot be not okay.
Well, that's sort of tricky when people are either sick or mentally deranged, but I think we're not quite in that direction right now. We're talking about being able to move, for example, choose your way into the fourth dimension, are we not?
We're really talking about how to get into the fifth dimension.
Oh, goody. Tell us about the fifth dimension.
You see, so let's talk about structure a little bit to get a frame of reference.
Okay.
So your third dimension is very rigid. It is conditional. There is nothing unconditional in the third dimension. It is structured in a time application that is linear, meaning past, present, future, and then you die. Mm-hmm. And I say application because time is not a fixed concept. It is a tool. It is an application for use. Third dimension has no choice. It has reaction. Most people live in the past and in the future. And the only time they experience in the third dimension, now you live in the fourth and the third simultaneously, but the only time in the third dimension you experience present time is usually in a reactionary state. Now, what I mean by that is I hope what happened to me in my past never happens to me again in my future.
Mm-hmm.
Or you say, they told me if I do X, Y, and Z, I will be successful in the future. What happens, though, most of us, if you think about the energy of thought, if somebody says you're not okay or you get afraid, you linger in that a much longer time than you do spending your attention on butterflies and puppy dogs licking the little baby's face and the feeling of, oh, isn't that cute? You don't stay in cute and beauty and well-being very long, but we do stay in what's wrong with me for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the energy, the charge, electromagnetic charges of frequencies in what's wrong with me is something that's very pronounced. And the fear of, I hope it doesn't happen to me again. But there's a very fundamental law, and most everybody spiritually says, oh, I know all about this. It's called the law of attraction. Very fundamental, flawless. It says, what you put your attention on, I, the universe who adores you, will provide for you. The challenge is the universe doesn't understand English and Spanish and German and French very well. What the universe understands is vibration.
Right.
And so if I'm walking around in a state of not okay, and I have my attention on what's wrong with me, the universe says, I will never interfere with your creation, Creator. And so you wake up in the morning and the universe says, oh, here's Jim again. And he's got his attention on worry and it's not working. And he must love this game. So I'll give him another variation to play today because that's what his attention is asking for. Make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Except that I have found that the law of attraction doesn't hit all the way through. What I mean is, I thought, and this is thought, that people are kind of run by stuff they haven't any access to. So sometimes they can't even create using the law of attraction as a creative tool. They keep getting flummoxed by its lack of success or lack of thorough success.
Precisely. Okay. Exactly. So, but we're saying identically the same thing. What is their attention on? How can you experience well-being and beauty when I'm worried about my paycheck and what she thinks of me and he said this and I'm never going to be okay and nobody ever really liked me? That's a lot of accumulated unconsciousness that's stored on the shelf behind you that the universe every morning gets to pick from.
So what do we do about it?
Well, very simple. Which thought felt better a few moments ago, well-being and beauty and happy,
mm-hmm.
certain, capable, senior, this is who I am, or the one that says I'm not okay, my nose is funny, and nobody really ever did like me anyway. Which thought feels better?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you can begin to recognize what is the state of vibration that I'm holding my attention on, the universe shifts its focus on giving to you immediately. So this is why I said earlier, if you can recognize third dimension is all about past and future and reaction, conditionality. If you can get into a fourth dimensional space, the game changes. And very simple, three things change. The linear time goes away and time application is present time, right where we are right now. And right where we are right now, there's a conversation and an awareness, and we're not worried about or trying to prove anything. We're just in dialogue right here. Mm-hmm. So present time. The second thing is when you are in present time, you have choice. I can look at this and not like it and choose it. I can look at it and not like it and not choose it. I have choice. But another funny word comes into play here that's very potent, and the word is paradox. And it simply means what was true just a minute ago in my absolute, I'm not okay, I'll never be okay, may not be true in this moment. And what was false may not be false. So all of a sudden you have choice and you have just let go of the restrictive structures that keep you locked in. Think about third dimension. In third grade, you stole from me and I never liked you and I still never like you. And 20 years later, you show up on my front porch and I open the door and my first response is, I know you, you stole from me, I don't like you. But if I can look at you in fourth dimension, present time, I can recall you, but I don't have to hold you accountable for your third grade action. And I can say, hello, I remember you. And at that moment, nice to see you. Why are you here? And at that moment, you say to me, for these last X years, I have been guilty because I stole from you. And my life has been miserable because I've done that. And I've come to apologize to you for something that I've done. Am I going to still hate you at that moment?
Not a chance.
Or am I going to say, come in, have a cup of tea with me, and we can talk about this.
Yeah.
The, in fourth dimension, opportunity to let go of, I'm not okay, I failed, I was guilty, I did something wrong. In fourth dimension, you get to choose another choice. In that process, you get to also begin to reconstruct yourself with different thoughts and different vibrations.
Well, wait a minute. You said that the third and the fourth are here and now, right? So are we learning to choose fourth dimension totally? Are we learning that as a mass consciousness?
No. But you're on the right track. So let's say we're not choosing a dimension. A dimension is there for you. Can go stand in your bedroom or you can go stand in your kitchen.
Okay.
The bedroom is there for a certain set of experiences. The kitchen is there for another certain set of experiences. Cooking in the bedroom, probably not a great idea. Sleeping in the sink probably doesn't work real well. So what happens is you now have a set of choices. And so it gets to be very interesting here. For example, your history, your past, it begins to have some choices. Instead of it being an absolute truth, this is what happened. One of the things I'll guarantee you, you and I could go to your deepest, darkest secret, the thing that you hope nobody ever knows about you.
Okay.
And you and I could walk around that one time. I guarantee you, 100%, what you believe happened did not happen the way you think it happened. Guaranteed. So what if your past in a fourth dimensional space is really simply information to observe and then use to make a different choice? Now, the one piece that gets in everybody's way is, let me use an example. You say hello to me and I say, and how are you doing? And I say, oh, I'm fine. And you say, well, that doesn't sound really good. And I say, my wife died 20 years ago and I'm sad. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, you say. What happens is that's a truth. My wife died 20 years ago and I am sad. But you can only be sad or hold an emotion in present time. So what I'm doing is in a past, present time moment, an experience happened and I had an emotion. I am choosing to remember the experience and choose the emotion again and again and again.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense?
I
so
think
if my
so, yeah.
yeah so if my if my next question to you was, oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. Oh, but I understand you had a wonderful dinner last night. And my response is, oh yeah, it was really exciting. I had so much fun. Well, wait a minute. What happened to sad? I just shifted my attention point, my thought, and my emotion. So now, in that situation, and you say, well, your wife died 20 years ago. Are you ever going to get married again? No, I've never had another relationship, I say. Well, now I have a choice. I had a wonderful relationship. My wife died, and here I am 20 years later. How would I like to choose if I don't hang on to sad and remorse, etc.? See where it goes?
Yeah, I do.
See, in this set of choice, how would I like my future present time moment to be? You can't create in the future, but I can begin to create right now.
I like that you said you can create it over and you can choose it over and over. So it's not like once has to be a fait accompli. Once doesn't have to be totally conclusive, right?
Correct, because you're always in a new present time moment.
Right.
And
okay.
Once you start to have this sensation of certain and capable and kind and gracious and mostly ease and calm and allowing in the body.
And respected.
All those things, all those words. Now, though, you are getting to where you are going. That is a fifth dimensional space.
Oh.
Beauty, ease, grace. You can't hold those vibrations in the third dimension very long. You can have them for a moment, but you generally live in a space of worry and fear and hope. But once you start to build these platforms of, I'm okay, certain, capable, I begin to choose to experience myself in vibrations that are nurturing and supportive and hold a strength, a commanding presence even. From there, I can be respectful and admiring and supportive and complimentary and simply enjoy my day in present time. But it gets even more interesting. In present time, there are five layers of present time.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when you begin to get in fifth dimensional present time, you really don't have a lot of attachment to your past. You can recall it. But what you did yesterday has very little reference point. I'll give you an example. We were in Colombia and Panama 6 days ago, and it's hard to remember. Oh, I remember it. But it's hard to identify as that was just 6 days ago. Could have been a year ago. It has no reference point from that standpoint. But in this level of present time, the ability to start to walk through your wall, as you said earlier, or even more appropriately, hold out your hand and ask for the apple to appear, it begins to be a reality and a mechanical construct that allows you to create the realities you choose.
I love that. Well, tell me this, Jim. Is it a lot of us are feeling an incredible speed up? You referred to time and the present moment. I realize that. But there seems to be an incredible speed up of the frequencies of, for example, the 3D in any time, the three dimension, but in individuals on the earth, in the universes and so on. Is that why we're very capable of moving ourselves to the fifth dimension with choice?
Couple of things there. One of the things that happens, which is where the universe is engaged with you very, very specifically, and that is when you start to hold well-being, we'll call that fifth dimension, or you begin to just move out of your state of anger, frustration, resentment, which feeling feels better, into well-being. One of the things that's happening to you, have you noticed, is that you are losing your memory.
Yes,
that make any sense?
I've noticed that.
Yeah. Now, so what you're losing, though, is all of the I'm not okay, and the beliefs and the interactions in your past that virtually have nothing to do with you. They're like knickknacks that you have collected along the way, and you stick back here, and most of the knickknacks are, I'm not okay, they didn't like me, I embarrassed myself when I told the joke, and everybody laughed at me and not with me. All of those experiences, which are the cumulative I'm not okay that you've even forgotten that you ever considered, that sit back, raise your energetic level up to well-being, and you start to hold on to beauty and the smile and the heart and that internal guidance system, and you just simply say, wow, those clouds are really quite cool. I like looking at them. In that moment, you're in present time, and in that moment, the memories of not okay are simply being cleared off the shelf. That's why you're losing your memory. The other thing that you just asked about is time going faster. In a way, time is slowing down to a stopping point almost, but it feels faster. So if you think about it in this term, if you are going to walk from point A to point B over there, 2 minutes away, and you've done it every morning, every day of your life, you can do it with your eyes closed. You know how it feels. You know when you're going to arrive. There's nothing new about it. But if time is slowing down, what happens is, in order to get to point B, I have to walk faster. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I have to go faster. And time slows down, I have to go faster. Time slows down, I have to go faster. So, in fact, what we are doing is, you ever see those little finger puzzles that they have in the Hawaiian Islands in the South Pacific made of palm, and you put your fingers in them, and then you try to pull your fingers out?
No, I haven't seen those.
Okay, really funny. So it's a little thing, you put your fingers in, and then you try to pull. But pulling is exactly the opposite force to releasing your fingers.
Hmm.
You can't pull because it tightens down when you pull this little thing.
It's same like thing backing happens. Up over those pokey things at the edge of a parking area.
Yeah. So what happens is right here, as you start to slow down, time slows down, and you're in past and future, you're being driven into the mindset of, I got to hurry up to get it all done.
Mm.
But when you step into present time, a couple of things happen. First, you start to be in present time, and that much more of I'm not okay begins to disappear. You're doing this to yourself at a higher level, and you start to get to a place where a lot of the noise disappears, and you begin to get into a place where what you are all about begins to be very present in your space in a manner that is much more manageable. You're not hurrying, you're not rushing, you're not leaning or needing or wanting, you simply are observing. What makes that so important is in those five layers of present time, instead of having to go to your life externally, everything begins to come to you.
Hmm.
Very different reality.
So that's manifesting. That's a manifesting consciousness, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know what? I was just thinking about time and walking faster and so on. And I've noticed on the freeways, if you're driving in a fast moving freeway, you can manifest space in front of you and behind you just by being. Do you know what I mean?
It's the absolutely.
Is it the same thing?
Very much.
Mm.
And there are tools that allow you to simply begin to, it's like looking in the rear view mirror at the person that's tailgating you. Really simple tool. Create an image of a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Roses are actually important. And just put it between you and the car behind you and begin to move it backwards in your mind. Just kind of push it back slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And the car will back off your back bumper.
Hmm.
Simple, simple little tool. Very potent for many things.
Oh, I love that. But you also said the rose is very important. Can you tell us a bit more about using it that way or using it, period?
The rose is very important in a physical reality, the rose comes out of the feminine side of consciousness. It has very potent capacity. It has ease and flow and smoothness. Roses are very interesting. In organic material on the earth, the vibrational frequency runs from, you know, kind of 1-2 up to about 200. That's the vibrational frequency range of every organic living thing on the earth, with the exception of a couple of different roses. Bulgarian rose oil vibrates at 800.
Wow.
Not even close. Frankincense and sandalwood vibrate at about 205, 210. They're the highest frequencies. But rose oil comes out of the, in religious terms, it would be said it comes out of the Mary Magdalene line of the church. That would be correct, but religion is very narrow in this regard. It comes from an aspect of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to play, and this is where Mastering Alchemy plays, all the things I've said so far are structure. But how do you begin to alter the thoughts and the emotions into a consciousness range where you begin, see, consciousness in the third dimension is about as dense as possible. It's very constricted, very limited. Fourth dimension, consciousness density loosens up. Fifth dimension, it loosens up a lot. It begins to be all possibilities begin to be available. But in third dimension, that's not true.
But you're saying that in fifth dimension, for example, the possibilities are drawn to you about your by your shifting frequencies, by your choosing.
Yes, very much. But you become conscious and you begin to know things. And physics is very, very limiting. Consciousness is how to make the apple appear in your hand. And see, that literally, the ability to make the apple appear in your hand comes out of concepts that are held in a sixth and seventh dimension that are then drawn by frequency, density, and configuration of light and sound and color, all of which are much more than color and sound, and you begin to materialize them into a fifth dimensional physical state. But that's a conscious, that's an expansion. See, when you start to play in the fifth dimension, third dimension really doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it doesn't go away. It's just, it's like having a really rich part of your community or a really poor part of your community, but you are neither rich nor poor. You know they exist, but you see very little of them. And you may pass by them, but you don't belong in them. And as you begin to play in these higher dimensions, you start, you belong completely, you belong, but you begin to have awareness in terms of how to, the whole game changes. Your whole perception of what life is changes.
Well, you can't belong in that case if you aren't really yourself. Is that right? If you aren't true to your nature.
But you have to begin to know your nature. To begin to be true to your nature. And that's the transition from the third to the fifth dimension. And you can't take your baggage with you on the journey. See, in the fifth dimension, words like safety or trust really don't even exist, because there is nothing unsafe and nothing to distrust.
That's a really wonderful concept. It really sort of hard to imagine for a lot of people. But I do know a lot of people whose reality, you're talking about the political world, for example, and so on, or the big drought in California. We can be in the present and not so much in effect of that. Am I right?
Absolutely. See, that's this is where another concept comes into play. So you are the creator of your play.
Right.
And everything that you see with your eyes is the props and the staging and the backdrops and the actors and the actresses of your play. It is also they are the actors and the actresses of their play of which you interact with. But once you begin to recognize it's your play from a present time point of perception and well-being, you begin to change the actors and the props and the backdrop. And in many cases, you'll pass right through that drought in California and you'll never go without a drop of water for yourself in the most comfortable of ways. Mm. And so it's not about...
And we can influence the earth as well that way, or we can create with the earth as well. Am I right?
Yeah, very much so. But see, this is where it even gets more interesting. Because once you start to recognize all of this about yourself, and you begin to start to recognize things like what happens in the eighth chakra, the ninth, the tenth, you begin to recognize you have communication skills with the Lords of Light and Yeshua and El Moria and all the great beings, and you begin to start to change the frequency resonance in the body. You begin to turn back on the brain. You start to change the neurons. You begin to alter the hormone secretions and the chemical relationships in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to have awarenesses that this body doesn't have to even die. Mm. You will most likely lay it down at some point, but you don't. It doesn't have to die. Illness is not something that is necessary. But see, people who are hearing this are hearing it from a third dimensional perspective, where what I just said is not true. It's mm-hmm. in a higher.
Well, see, I suppose if listeners are sick or in chronic pain, they're going to have trouble making the choices, you know, or giving self ability.
Yes, but see, understanding what sick or chronic pain is part of this whole transition. So when you hold these thoughts, I'm not okay,
mm-hmm.
and the emotion of fear or blame or guilt or embarrassment, think about what happens to your body when you tighten down.
Mm-hmm.
You worry, you are in fear. You see, it starts to create a tightness, and that creates a resistance, and the resistance creates an inflammation, and the inflammation begins to create a wearing, and eventually things break down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So when you start to play this game I'm pointing to, how you hold your thoughts and the emotions, as I said at the beginning, will alter the physiology and the well-being and the longevity.
Mm-hmm. That makes incredible sense. That's incredible sense. So you're speaking as if living in the present is almost like it is a meditation, isn't it?
It is a state of being where meditation is something that you experience within it. See, it's really you change in this space, you change the framework, the backdrops, the staging, the props. You simply basically begin to hold a completely different configuration of possibility.
Mm.
See what makes?
Yeah. Right. Now there's something else which is I have heard, because we're almost finished and I want to grab you just for a few more minutes. There are kinds of meditations which you've taught people to help them shuck whatever it is, their belief or their attachment to various ways of being. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Would you like to tell us about those or point us to some YouTubes or classes?
Let me explain Mastering Alchemy. Mastering Alchemy is a very fundamental step in a... And it's like you put your feet down and you follow your feet, you're going to go in that direction. But once you intentionally decide to just change the angle of one foot, you begin to walk on a different line.
Right.
Okay. So Mastering Alchemy is really that fundamentally simple. How do you put a rose up in front of you as a tool? It's part of one of the tools. And then bring your attention to your side of the rose. that really simple concept, which I'm not teaching here, I'm just pointing out, allows you to be in present time.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize that from this rose, which is on the edge of your aura, and if you just stick your hand straight out in front of your arm, turn your palm towards yourself approximately plus or minus for most people, that's where the edge of your aura is. And if you create this mental image picture of a rose, and you bring your attention to your side and you observe Shakespeare's theater out there on the other side, and you make a decision that you're going to stay on your rose. This rose is not a wall protection, keep out. It just simply says, everything over there is over there, and here I am. And when you stay on your side of this, and you understand that tool, and we teach it as a, I mean, it's a teaching tool. It's available. It's available actually free. I think there's 8 hours of classes that are free on masteringalchemy.com. And they're tools. Our giveaway, substantive free information that's going to make a difference to people, because I know when I do a webinar and there's 2,000 people on the phone, I am never going to see 90% of those people, if not more. And so my task is to give you tools. Mastering Alchemy is a program that lasts a few years, that takes you into an instructional level between myself, the archangelic realm, the Yeshua, the ascended masters. Once a week, there's a conversation between me and one of those great beings that's recorded. Mm-hmm. And then there is a class, and then there is a follow-up conversation or lecture from one of those beings. The information is about how to build that living light body in a multidimensional consciousness. And it has now come to a end. End being, people that started through this whole process have now arrived at the place where they are living in that living light body.
Nice.
No more instructions. That program is available to everybody on the planet.
And your prognosis is that we are shifting into that on a mass level. Is that right?
Maybe it will happen. It will happen. It will take some time. It will take some years, because most people are asleep and most people are locked into their own fears and perceptions. And it's going to take some while. So the original question was about the planetary update. The world is in transition. It's going from what was to what will be. And in the middle, you can't take your baggage with you. And in that context, the world financial system, the world geopolitics are all very committed to what has been, and they are trying to hold on to it for dear life. They will not succeed. And so consequently, the smoothness of the transition is going to be a function of how quick everybody begins to get it. But the transition will be successful. The next couple of years will be somewhat uncomfortable for very many. But the purpose of Mastering Alchemy is to show you how to stay on your side of the rose and walk through the seams of that world transition, which will, at some point in the not too distant future, but a number of years, will be absolutely something that you almost can't perceive right now. And it will be so naturally stepped into.
And Mastering Alchemy is mastering choice.
Correct. And it's basically teaching people how to get to that stage of being that fully Christed being, which is not about a religion or a man. It's an aspect of consciousness that is the Creator.
Wow, I love this. This has been such a wonderful call, and I really appreciate you, Jim Self of Mastering Alchemy. And I love that you have a lot of YouTubes. You have a lot of material people can find you on, as well as, I don't know if you're doing classes. You say it's all done?
No. So the done is people go through a period of time and they complete.
Okay.
But that body of work is completely available consistently. There are free lectures every month that talk about much of these pieces. There are 8 hours of essential tools that you can go on the website and click on essential tools, 8 hours of teaching the rows, teaching grounding. People think, well, I just ground. What does it mean? How do you ground? Do you recognize there's two components to grounding? One is a magnetic component. One is an electrical component. When you start to understand that thoughts are electrical, mm-hmm. how many times do you run thoughts through your head? You can't get them out of your head.
Oh, yeah, really.
Ground the electrical. How many times do you hold on to an emotion that you just can't get rid of? When you recognize you can, there's a grounding component that's magnetic, you simply clear those from your space instantaneously if you choose.
Wonderful. Well, I have to let you go, and I thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for the huge contribution you're making on our planet, in our collective.
My pleasure, absolutely.
Thanks, Jim Self.
Thanks, Veronica, for having me. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You too.